Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben.
Presented by Brakes Plus. We'll get to it in a second. Well, maybe they'll make the question here. Okay, do you see similarities between Pat Shurmur and Mike McCoy? Let me set it up, okay?
Okay.
When Mike McCoy came here, it was sold as, wow, this is a proven veteran offensive coordinator who loves to throw the football. And boy, it's going to be an exciting offense. But what ended up happening? It became obvious that his idea of what he wanted to do didn't mesh with what kind of personnel and quarterback the Broncos actually had.
Right.
And I remember it vividly. The idea was, man, he loves to use three receivers. He loves to play a spread for personnel that doesn't really match it. And I always felt, as the Mike McCoy debacle was taking place, that I was looking at a guy that felt that he was back in a role that he didn't deserve, that he had been a head coach, that he felt that he had proven himself that he should be a head coach in this league, and that being an offensive coordinator was beneath him, and that he wanted to get back to being a head coach as soon as possible. And the only way, the best way to do that was to put out an offense that was open, high-powered, and explosive. I look at Pat Shurmur right now, and I'm not going to go all the way there right now, but you have to admit there seem to be some similarities right down to the idea of, I was a head coach in New York. It wasn't my fault that I had the record that I did. I should be a head coach. I shouldn't be an offensive coordinator. I should be a head coach. And the best way to get back to being a head coach again is to have a wide open, high scoring, explosive offense. Do you see similarities?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's interesting because I think Joel said it.
And maybe I'll even add this. I don't think Mike McCoy ever felt that he should be coaching under somebody like Vance Joseph.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Pat Shurmur looks at Vic Fangio as much as he probably respects Vic as everything he's done in the league. But I wonder if he feels that he should be taking orders from somebody like Vic Fangio.
I mean, there probably is some of that, Mike. I would tell you this, and I think Joel Klatt said it very well on the program yesterday. He said, you can't take the guy's best year. Guys get hired. Guys become head coaches because they have one exceptional year where everything just seems to work. Everything they do, their personnel just matches up perfectly. Their quarterback plays out of his mind. And they have this one outstanding year. And if you go back to what they have been consistently and take out maybe the worst year and the best year, that's normally what they are. One of the things I told you about Pat Shurmur coming in here is he's consistently one of the bottom third. His offenses are the bottom third of the league every year as far as giving up sacks is concerned. And so then you come to a organization that has not really invested in the offensive line, that's tried to get third team tackles to be starters, that really hasn't done a good job there of development and putting enough talent in place to really be good, Mike. And what do you think's going to happen? And a guy that wants to be in three wides and wants to spread the field, what do you think's going to happen? And I told you this before the season started. They'll be a bottom third team when it comes to protecting the quarterback. And sure enough, in the last 2 weeks, they've given up 13 sacks and 29 hits. So I will go here for you. So breaking down their offense over the first two games of the season, that was Tennessee, a loss, and that was Pittsburgh, a loss. In third down and six plus, okay, so that's nickel situations, right? Third down and six plus, most teams are going to throw it the majority of the time. But they're going to have some wrinkles in there. They're going to have maybe a pop out, like try to pop a run on third and six. They may have a couple of condensed formations where at least they show you the threat of run. They try to match up personnel wise, right? Try to get a tight end on a linebacker. Like, this league is a matchup league. It's either you're trying to exploit a weakness in a coverage or you're just trying to exploit a cover guy. So, hey, you got one of the most athletic tight ends in football, right? And Nick Van Nett's a tight end that's got an athletic approach to him, right? You've got athletic tight ends, even though you didn't dress him last week. So maybe you condense a formation, Mike, and you get a matchup on your running back, Gordon, and maybe you get a matchup on Fant that's a favorable matchup, and you try to exploit that matchup, right? Like, that makes sense, right? So the first 2 weeks in third down and six plus, they had 15 plays in third down and six plus. How many times do you think they were in 11 personnel in those 15 plays?
I would say at least probably 10 of them.
15 of them.
Oh,
15 out of 15. How many times do you think they were in a spread offense? In 11 personnel, 15 of 15. How many times do you think they were spread? How many times do you think they condensed?
I'm going to say they were spread 15 times.
15 out of 15 in a spread offense, 15 and 15 out of 11 personnel. 100% of the time, you got exactly what you expected to get. So, from a defensive standpoint, that's what you've prepared for. What do you think you're going to get? You think you're going to confuse anybody? You think you get anybody on their heels? No. I mean, that to me right there says all I need to know. I can stop my study. I can close my little book. I got my handy dandy notebook.
Yep,
I can close it and I go, I know what he is. Until he proves otherwise, I mean, the evidence is right there.
Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider, joins us for his weekly visit, courtesy of your Colorado Mercedes-Benz dealers. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, Mike and Stink. How are we doing?
We're doing good, Adam. We're doing good. Give us the latest on, I guess they've moved this Tennessee yes. Steelers game. What exactly is going on there? Do you have some insight on that for us?
Yeah, basically what happened is this morning, there were two more positive tests that came back within the Titans organization, which I guess we can classify as an outbreak, because there now have been five players and six other employees of the organization that have tested positive, bringing the number to 11. That's 11 positive tests, and that was enough for the NFL to basically postpone the game. They were talking. They wanted to have the game Sunday, not happening Sunday. They wanted to have it Monday or Tuesday, not happening Monday or Tuesday. They're now going to have to move it later in the season. The issue is, these teams don't have the same bye weeks, and so they're going to have to juggle the schedule and get other teams to switch bye weeks to make this happen. And so the schedule right now, I think, is going to be refitted this morning to make it work so that they can play the Titans-Steelers game later in the season. But it is not happening this week. Obviously, the organization will go into quarantine. They'll see if there are more positive tests. And look, it's the season of COVID. It's the time of COVID in our world. It was unrealistic to think that the NFL could go by unscathed. I don't care how big, strong, tough, and powerful the NFL is. It's not immune to the virus. And so the virus has basically brought down the Steelers-Titans game for this weekend. And now the NFL is going to reschedule it.
Adam, and the NFL has also sent out a memo to teams basically, you know, threatening the loss of draft picks, suspensions, if teams yeah. do not comply with wearing the masks. You saw the Raiders had a number of players at an event without masks. Their owner came out and was very critical of his players. Is what we're seeing here, is it a genuine concern for the virus, or is there a lot of optics involved? Hey, we want to finish this season. We got to make sure we put the right optics forward if we're going to do this. And that's why you're seeing this, really heavy-handed threats by the NFL.
Well, I mean, yeah, of course. Is there something with the optics? Sure. But I think the bigger issue, Mike, is that in speaking to enough people, as somebody explained to me, the league feels like it's the league's job to do its best to protect the game and the sport. And to protect the game and the sport, people have to be vigilant. There's no other way. If they're not vigilant, they jeopardize that week's game. If that week's game is jeopardized, the season becomes jeopardized. I mean, so just look at this. And by the way, you can be as vigilant as you want and still succumb to it. You can be as vigilant as you want and still not be able to control it. So the league, yes, I'm sure there are some optics, perception. We don't want to have a coach on the sideline not wearing a mask. We want everybody to see that. But more important than that, bigger than that, is the idea that they believe that everybody involved on every team has a role to play to protect each other, to protect their teammates, to protect their brothers, to protect the sport. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's not hard to understand.
Yeah, it is pretty simple, Adam. What's not so simple is what's going to happen with this game tonight, Jets-Denver. And, I mean, this seems to be for who's the worst team in football this game. And I would ask you this. Are there decisions being made right now as far as people's futures are concerned in both organizations if either one of these teams loses?
Well, let's just say at least we don't have another presidential debate tonight, right? So that's a good thing.
That's a positive.
As it pertains to the actual game, look, I think in the NFL, as you know, futures are always decided by games. And I know there's a lot of speculation in the New York area about Adam Gase's job, whether he's safe or not. And I think a lot of times, honestly, we could talk about it and wonder about it. Is Adam Gase safe? Could he get fired after tonight? It occurred to me as I was thinking about this that I think an owner on any team could be thinking about a change. And I think his mind could be made up in the 3 hours that he watches his team play. Because there are so many times where you go to a game and a team, and then you go watch your team and they stink and you get disgusted by it. And so I really think like there are 16 referendums, whether it's the Jets or the Broncos or any other team that has questions. There are 16 referendums, 48 hours worth of material where you get to judge your team. And I know it goes beyond that. We look at the practices and how the team is responding and how it behaves. But the truth of the matter is these teams are on display for everybody to see for 3 hours each week. And so the Jets could be undecided about Adam Gase, and they could go into tonight, and the Broncos could beat them 27-3, and you say, I just can't watch this anymore. Like, we got to do something. Or the Jets could respond, and there's nothing said. How many times have we heard a coach is in trouble? And the team responds, and we don't hear that. Or the other way, team coach is in trouble, team lays an egg, coach fired next day. Right? Like, it goes both ways. If Adam Gase is in trouble and the Jets go out tonight and they win in an impressive way, which is hard for to imagine that team doing anything in an impressive way right now, then you're not firing Adam Gase the next day.
Visit with Adam Schefter. Against the backdrop of what I heard from you yesterday when you were on with The Drive, and you said absolutely the Broncos cannot make excuses for losses with injuries. Okay, against that backdrop, Joe Ellis has oftentimes said that as he makes decisions, he is sort of guided by the idea of what would Pat Bowlen do? Let me ask you, if Pat Bowlen was running this football team right now and the Broncos lost in embarrassing fashion to the Jets tonight, would John Elway be safe? Would Vic Fangio be safe? What kind of consequences would there be, if any, to that?
Well, I think Pat Bowlen was a patient man. He was a patient man. And so I think he would wait. And I don't know whether people in Denver want Vic Fangio's head right now. Like, Vic Fangio is a very good football coach. And what are you going to do right now? Okay, so you want to fire him now and do something with him? Like, and what, promote Pat Shurmur to interim head coach so you're then back in the coaching cycle? And like, I don't know. Like, I don't see that. Like, let this season play out. Let it play out, and let's see what happens. And then at the end of the year, in a COVID year where there's a lot of uncertainty, you make a judgment. You make a judgment at that point. I'll tell you what Pat Bowlen would have done. Pat Bowlen about 4 or 5 years ago would have hired Kyle Shanahan. It wouldn't have been an issue.
All right, Adam, man. Listen, we really appreciate you. Gosh, so much stuff going on right now, but it's good. It's good to have football.
And by the way, I loved what you said. I can't.
Yeah.
We're running it as a promo on our station today. I can't. It more enthusiastically agree with what you said, because I just hate the excuse-making that comes with injury. Everybody, especially this year in the NFL, everybody's dealing with it. So, you know, this idea of the poor Broncos, I'm so glad you shot that down yesterday.
I mean, come on. Like, that. Every team deals with it. I don't want to hear how much money and salary they have on IQ. I don't really care how much money they have in salary at IR. It really doesn't matter to me. Go play the game. Go up to depth. Go out and put better. Like, great. Every team's got money. Okay, so they have $40 more million. Yeah, because a lot of that is inflated by Von Miller. Because he's got a big number. Big deal. Right? Now, let me say this. They've lost great players. They have. I mean, they've lost their best pass rusher. They've lost offensive linemen. But that's their job. To figure out a way to get past it, to have the depth to overcome it, for other guys to rise up. I mean, the San Francisco and Damian Woody, my colleague, called them the San Francisco 29ers this morning because they're missing half their roster. The San Francisco 29ers went into New York on the road and walloped the Jets and the Giants in back-to-back weeks when they were missing their starting quarterback, their best pass rusher, their top two running backs, their top two, three wide receivers. I mean, you go win. That's
you go,
what it is.
Yep, you go play. There's no question. It may be actually a blessing in disguise to lose one of their offensive linemen, Adam. Maybe they should play with four. All right, buddy. Listen, we really appreciate it. Can you tell my bitterness right now? I hope so.
What are you bitter about, Stink?
It's just that they haven't addressed that. They haven't addressed that. That's a clear need that this team has had for 5 years that they haven't addressed, and they continue to ignore it and think that we're going to beat it with speed. And ultimately, every week you put on the, hey, 13 sacks and 29 quarterback hits the last 2 weeks. And you tell me what the problem is. You tell me why you can't win games. Right. So yeah, I'm bitter. It bothers me. That bothers me. That is part that to me is a failure of the way John Elway has put this team together. That's all. So it does bother me. Anyhow, but you know what doesn't bother me? You. I love you, buddy. Thank you.
Love you too, guys. Have a great day, and we'll be in touch.
Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider, courtesy of your Colorado Mercedes-Benz dealers. Would you agree with that assessment that Pat Bowlen was a very patient man? And would that patience have lasted through this current 5-year window we're in?
I think Pat Bowlen was a very patient man. I also think that Pat Bowlen was demanding of better. And so there would have been, you know, there would have been kind of, if not this, going into this year was like, you either fix what has ailed us, or I'm going to fix it when the season's over. I don't know that Pat Bowlen was going to fire people in the middle of the season. But certainly, you know, if this was, if what we're seeing right now constitutes the worst Bronco team that we have ever seen. I mean, think about it. This team is the first team ever to start back-to-back seasons 0-3. The first team in the history of the National Football League to win a Super Bowl and then in the next 5 seasons, not go back to the playoffs. You talk about Super Bowl windows, Mike. You had a team that was good enough to go to the Super Bowl defensively that were loaded. And and Peyton Manning struggled all year and you did not have an exit strategy. By the way, you got outbid on a quarterback that you wanted because you let it get to free agency because you didn't handle it the season before. When you knew that after 10 games, Peyton Manning dropped off precipitously from an accuracy and an arm strength and everything else. It was after that Rams game the year before in 2014 when you watched Peyton struggle for the rest of the year. And you couldn't get a deal done. Because why? We're going to wait. The guy should be honored to play here for me. He should take a discount. Now, maybe Brock isn't the right guy. And maybe that was part of the plan, Mike. But the fact that you went from a firm $12 million a year to $16 million a year tells me it wasn't the plan. Tells me you didn't have a plan. Am I wrong? Is that wrong? And so you didn't have a succession plan for your quarterback with a team that was in a Super Bowl window. And now you've gone 5 straight years without going back to the playoffs. This will be the 5th. But I'm just assuming you're nowhere close to getting a playoff bid.
You know, the whole bit about what would Pat do. Pat was a patient guy, but I go back to the end of Shanahan here. And, you know, Mike Shanahan's record here was
unbelievable. And even after a couple of rough seasons following you guys winning those Super Bowls, you know, he regrouped. They had three straight years where they won 10, 10, and 13 games.
By the way,
and went to the conference finals and lost to the Steelers.
By the way, we were 6-10 after winning our back-to-back Super Bowl year when John retired.
Mm-hmm.
And Bubby Brister was supposed to take over, and then we went with Brian Greasy, and there was a transition, and TD blew out his knee, and so there was a transition there. But the following year, we were 11-5 with Gus Frerotte and went back to the playoffs, right?
Right. So, and lost in the wild card. But what I'm saying here is that a lot of the people who defend Elway say, well, look at what he did in the first part of his run as a general manager.
And by the way, hold on one second.
Yep.
It was Brian Greasy first, then he hurt his shoulder, and then Gus Frerotte took over toward the end of that season.
Correct.
Okay, so I didn't want to slight Brian because Brian was a Pro Bowl. Brian played great that year until he tore up his shoulder. So, sorry, go ahead.
So the argument is that, hey, look, you know, you can't get rid of Elway because you got to respect what he did in the first part of his run here. Well, Mike Shanahan accomplished more than John Elway did or has from a front office standpoint, an executive standpoint. And after those three seasons of 10, 10, and 13 wins and an AFC championship berth, the Broncos went 9-7, 7-9, and 8-8. And the patient, Pat Bowlen, fired Mike Shanahan.
Right.
So if Joe Ellis is running this franchise directed by the idea of what would Pat do, would Pat Bowlen, while recognizing everything that John Elway has done for this franchise as a player and an executive, would he be patient and allow John Elway to continue through a run that has seen the Broncos go 9-7, 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, and now 0-3? No. He wouldn't.
Right.
He proved that with Shanahan. And this patient man that Adam Schefter said Pat Bowlen was, he did show some patience, but it was limited. And it was limited to 3 years with Mike, and then he was out. So I think that track record tells you he would not have allowed this to go this long with the current front office setup. No way. So if Joe Ellis is running this franchise from the standpoint of what would Pat do, then I think the answer is very simple for Joe. If this thing continues to spiral.
You know what? That's too bad.
Yeah. Is anything I'm saying wrong?
No. Absolutely not.
Am I going out on way too big of a limb here? No, of course not.
No, you're...
If you look at the history.
If you look at the history, you're 100% right.
That's obvious.
So, I mean, that's where we are. And that makes... I mean, it makes total sense, Mike. So
let's be clear. If Pat Bowlen was alive and still owning and running this football team, John Elway would have been relieved of his role.
Would you say it was 3 years that Mike went?
What? He went after you guys, after they went to the AFC championship game, went 9-7.
Okay.
7-9, 8-8.
And that was it.
That was it. That was 9-7, a three-year stretch where they went 24-24.
Right.
Broncos are in a 4-year plus stretch in which they've gone 27-40.
Yeah.
Right. What's your answer?
You know, I have to address this.
So if Joe Ellis is consistent, and I'll put the pressure now back on Joe. If Joe Ellis, who has been consistent in saying a lot of what I do is guided by what I think Pat would want. Well, here you go.
Yeah. I have to address Pat on the text line really quick, because he threw a stinker out at me. He said, how has Elway not tried to address the O-line? He drafted Bowles in the first round, and Bowles was the most penalized player in football for about 3 years and didn't really improve. Now, he's playing better this year. He is playing better this year. But at the same time, you could have had Ramczyk, who's been an all-pro pretty much since day one. Drafted Risner in the second round. Risner's not playing very good football right now. He's got to get better. He had a good rookie season. He's not playing very good football. He's not the best guard on the team. Glasgow's a better guard than Risner is right now. And then he said he paid right tackle. You paid a right tackle that had a history of not loving football. And you made him the highest right tackle in the league. And then you knew, based upon those things, that you needed to address and add depth to your offensive line. And what did you do with 10 draft picks? You didn't address it. You drafted wide receivers. So, you know, or the tackle position. So don't tell me, you know, you've put a couple Band-Aids on it. Yeah, you've addressed it with Band-Aids. Have you really built it? No, you haven't. So, Pat, don't give me the Elway apologist stuff. Like, hey, man, we got to do our jobs. We all have to do our jobs. And the truth is, it flat out, and maybe you thought you've addressed it, maybe you tried to address it, maybe it hasn't been good enough. And that's, and listen, that's, I don't know about the world you live in. The world I live in is not about trying hard. You gotta try hard, that's part of the deal. But the world I live in, you've gotta be good.
I want to take the temperature out there among the Broncos country. Where are you at as you look at tonight's game? Is it one where you're like, hey, I still believe this season could be a good one. I think there's a lot to gain. Absolutely, I want them to go out and win tonight. Or are you already like, hey, loss wouldn't be the worst thing? How are you feeling as you look ahead to this game? Be very curious to hear from you on the RamosLive.com text line 303-713-1043. We'll do that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, we asked. You delivered. So let's take the temperature in the room. Broncos country. How are you looking at this game tonight? You still all about there's a lot to salvage from this season, a lot to gain. You want to win, absolutely. You could never root for a loss. Or are you already having visions of Trevor Lawrence dancing in your head and you want to see them lose? Here's a little bit of a sampling. John from FOCO, this is a twofold thought. If you tell me Elway is running the draft, then I don't want the first pick because he will overthink it. But if you tell me we will have a new regime that will acknowledge a rebuild, then I am not concerned about the losses. Just get the experience for those who normally wouldn't get it. Let's see, some more here. Let's get some more. We, or more specifically, the front office needs to be humbled. And I'm rooting for a loss. We are not just one player or two wide receivers away from getting back to the playoffs. Stink is right. The lack of foresight from Elway to build this team has caught up to the Broncos. I'm ready for a complete change from front office down. I never thought I'd see this kind of reaction on the text line. You know, we started really calling out Elway about 3 years ago.
Mm.
And most of the people didn't want to hear it.
Right.
Most of the people were like, shut up, Evans. Don't want to hear it. He's, look at his record. You know, he's been to Super Bowls, da, da, da. Look what he did as a player. He's GM for life. Now? What a flip. What a reversal.
It is.
A lot of it is just like, hey, John, you'll always be John to me. You know, you'll always be grateful for everything you did. You'll always be seven.
Yeah.
I'll always lovingly look at my poster and think of happier times.
Right.
But I think those same people are like, but it's time. It's time for change.
You can separate. I mean, you can separate. I have no problem separating, you know, the time that John played and the time that we played together and how great he was and, you know, what he's done for this city and, you know, the, what I think is the mismanagement of, you know, the philosophical difference or whatever, from a draft and roster building standpoint, free agency and draft standpoint. I'm good enough. I mean, I'm big enough to separate those two things. And I know that, you know, I know that sometimes it's, yeah, I think people, when you have a relationship or you've had a relationship in the past, people look at that as like a slight on the relationship. It's just like I've always said, man, if you're mad at me for being honest with you, then I'm a better friend to you than you are to me. If I'm going to be honest and you're going to be mad about it and you're going to say, well, you're attacking me personally. I'm not attacking you personally. I'm pointing out what you've done from the building of the franchise and the philosophical approach and saying it's not good enough. That's all that there. That's my job. There's nothing wrong with doing that.
Stephen D says, as Klatt told you yesterday, he said Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent. I'm a Drew Lock fan, but this is T Law. Time to tank for Trevor. This Bronco team stinks. I feel bad for Drew Lock. What happened to all of the optimism surrounding Drew Lock? What happened to the idea that what we saw last year in that brief sample size was enough to not only get excited, but to really believe this was the guy? Then add in the comments of people like Colin Cowherd, who said that Drew Lock was a dark horse MVP candidate. We started this season not with a belief, but really an understanding that this is going to be the guy, and he's only going to get better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And now, through no fault of his own, really, he gets hurt, and it's like everyone's got, you know, goo-goo eyes for Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
And what this kind of reaction tells me is that people really weren't sold on Drew Lock. That there was a lot of talking ourselves into believing
right
he could be the guy without really being convinced. Because if you were really convinced, you wouldn't see this kind of reaction to the idea of, wow, we could be in the running for Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Because if you really believed what you were saying to yourself and to us and to others all off season, you'd say, hey, listen, there's still a lot of time left for Drew to come back, continue to grow, continue to show why he's the guy. And if the Broncos end up with a top five pick, great. Let's use it on, you know, that stud left tackle.
Yeah. But,
or let's get the most dominant defensive player out there. But, well, you know, don't give me all this we need a quarterback talk.
The problem is truly, Mike, even if it is Trevor Lawrence, if you don't change your philosophical approach to how you've built your team, then Trevor Lawrence becomes Sam Darnold. And in Jetland right now, they're saying, well, I guess Sam Darnold wasn't who we thought he was. I guess he's not a franchise quarterback. So, you know, the principle of that is, how are you going to protect the guy? Like Drew Lock, I don't care who you are, man. If you give up 13 sacks and 29 hits in 2 weeks, if you don't get injured, you're going to get browbeaten. You know who you become? David Carr. And I don't care who it is. You can be the toughest son of a gun out there. You give up that many hits and that many sacks to any quarterback in the league, and you know what that guy's going to become? He's going to become shell-shocked. Just like Sam Darnold. I'm seeing ghosts out there right now. You get hit like that, man. You get hit. I don't care who you are. It'll ruin somebody's career. And so the best thing you can do to support a young quarterback is not go out and draft a bunch of speed and act like you're just going to outgun people. The best thing you can do is draft a running game, draft an O-line, draft some guys that can really play, you know, and basically say, hey, man,
your defense,
right? We're going to absolutely dominate the line of scrimmage. And then what? You know, then what we're going to do once we get that solidified? Now we're going to start piecemealing weapons together. And we're going to build ourselves that way. And we're going to take advantage of scheming, like not just running by people, for explosives, but scheming explosives based off the play action because we run it so well.
Our friends at iShed.com, that's I, the letter I, iShed.com are giving away the baddest backyard barbecue for the New England game next week on October 11th. They're going to come to your house, set up an outdoor movie screen and projector for the game, tent, grill, 8 racks of ribs from Proud Souls Barbecue. That'd be 1 for me and 7 for the rest of you. Even a snow cone machine to qualify. Be, well, let's figure out. What do we want to do? What number? What number caller?
Let's go 9. Well, we had a 6 earlier. Let's go 9.
Why 9?
Because 69. Mm. 6 and 9.
Well, how about this? Let me just, all right.
Oh, wait. Then why'd you ask me? If you're just gonna, if you're just gonna trump me.
I'm not gonna.
Okay, go ahead. What? What do you want to
talk about? Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence's number at Clemson is 16.
16. You've already got Trevor Lawrence on our roster.
I have Trevor Lawrence on my brain right now. I'm not going to lie. Because unlike all these other fraudulent quarterbacks who've got overdrafted over the last several years, high up in the first round, this guy is the most legit, can't miss, slam dunk quarterback prospect to come along since Andrew Luck. And the guy that was the most slam dunk quarterback prospect to come along before Andrew Luck was who? Peyton Manning. Who was the one that was the most slam dunk number one consensus pick before that?
John Elway?
John Elway. So,
man,
when you start talking about that category, that class of quarterbacks, I do kind of have Trevor Lawrence on my brain. So let's do caller number 16 in honor of Trevor Lawrence's number. Caller number 16 at 303-713-1043. You are qualified to win the baddest backyard barbecue courtesy of iShed.com. All right, predictions for the game coming up next. All right. It is time.
Yes, it is.
Yep, it's time.
Prediction? Yes, prediction.
Hey. Hey, Lord.
Oh, that's just one of the most underrated of all the Rocky drops right there.
Yeah.
Our Broncos pick is presented by King Soopers, the official grocery store of the Denver Broncos. Make sure you get to 1043thefan.com to make all your picks for the King Soopers fan football pick'em. Which, by the way, Mark Schlereth, SOB.
What?
You're tied for first right now among the fan staff.
Oh.
Mark Schlereth, handsome son bitch, get out here.
You know, it's what I do. It's what I
do. All you do is win, win, win.
All, yeah, that's right.
Your life has just been one big victory.
Hey, by the way, I do want to read this really quick from 3415. I owe Stink an apology. I wish we would have built the team the way he wanted. Hey, you know, thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's not very often. Most of you on the text line, you know, you just go away angry. And it's okay to go, hey, man, Stink was right. I was wrong. That's okay. I appreciate that.
I like interacting with our texters. You know, when we get a chance, you know, we can do that from time to time.
Sure.
And so I was talking about Trevor Lawrence being a generational talent, right?
Yes, yeah. That's what everybody says.
And this texter said to me, seriously, Mike? That's what they said about Josh Rosen. Are you kidding me? What a joke. And I said to him, I had to respond. I had to. I said, they absolutely never said that about Josh Rosen.
He said he was the most NFL ready.
Yeah, but never generational talent.
No.
And then
there were a lot of questions about his love for football.
Then I jokingly said, are you drunk? And he responded, maybe. Just getting ready for the debacle of a game tonight. So that's good. Start early, folks. Start early.
That's right.
All right, so.
Ease your pain.
Predictions.
Predictions. You want me to go first?
Sure.
This is going to be a barn burner of a game, Mike.
By the way, did Troy Aikman ever get back to you?
Oh, yeah, he did.
So you texted Troy, who's going to be getting the honor of working this game tonight, and you texted him to ask him if he's excited about it. What did he say?
Let's see. Let me get to my Troy Aikman thread. Said, really excited for you to call the game tonight. What a great game is going to be, right? Kind of with a me, you know, my eyes tearing up laughing. He said, I can't wait. And he's got a couple of crying face emojis. And then he said, the bad thing is with all the injuries and roster moves, it's been one of the hardest games I've had to prepare for. Because you got a bunch of guys you don't know, right? And so basically, that's, you know, in a nutshell, what I can share with you guys.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Well, remember, it was not exactly at this time a year ago, but it was, what, week 7 a year ago.
Oh, that's right.
Where he did the Broncos Thursday night game against the Chiefs. That was the Matt Moore comes in for Patrick Mahomes. Joe Flacco's terrible. They lose 30-6, and it led Aikman in the second half to say, this might be the worst offensive football I've ever seen in my life.
Well, guess what? Take that game and times it exponentially. What you're going to see tonight, I mean, it is going to be a big steaming pile of doo-doo.
Wow. All right.
Maybe not.
That doesn't mean they can't win that steaming pile of doo-doo.
That's exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think it'll be a close game. I think it's so hard to go on Thursday night, fly across country, get ready, especially, you know, with a third string quarterback that you've cut twice. It's a practice squad guy getting his first reps, his first start in the history of his career. And he's really not going to get any reps other than a few walkthroughs to perform. They have not been able to pick up a blitz. They have not been able, you know, they really haven't been able to do any of those things. They don't want to run the ball. They want to throw the ball. That's not their offensive coordinator style. I think this is going to be a whale of a football game. I'm going to take the Jets 13-12 over the Broncos.
13-12. Okay.
I don't know if that's four field goals or a touchdown, two field goals, and a missed extra point.
But it'll somehow add up to 13-12.
Yeah, somehow it adds up 13-12.
Thursday night, on the road, traveling cross country, first time quarterback. Chad Brown was on with us earlier and he said something interesting. He goes, as bad as Sam Darnold has been, and he has been awful,
mm-hmm.
he at least has had enough
good
few
games.
Flashes in this league
right.
that he's only about 3 or 4 throws away from being able to really feel confident. And that's interesting because I think you can say that about a lot of young quarterbacks. As much as they're struggling, if they've had some moments, they're probably only a few throws away from feeling like, okay,
I'm in a groove.
I'm feeling good now, yeah. right? So the potential of him being able to go there, and Brett Rippon's just such, you know, a blank easel right now, you know. So yeah, I'm gonna go with the Jets too.
Oh God, think it's gonna be tight.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a steaming turd of poo game. Yeah. Everyone calls it the toilet bowl. We got to have something more modern.
Mm-hmm.
You call it the Trevor Lawrence bowl. I'm going to go with yours.
Yeah.
The steaming turd.
How about a
poo bowl?
You remember when, remember the movie Billy Madison? When they put the flaming bag of poo on the doorstep and the guy came out and tried to smash it out and then got poo all over his shoe? He stomped on a flaming bag of poo. You know.
No!
Right? This is the flaming bag of poo game. All right.
No! Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I'll go with, I don't know.
Oh, here's one from you on the
text
line.
I'm
going
to go with the Jets win 9-6.
9-6.
9-6. 9-6.
Said stink. It's 15-12. You forgot the safety they're going to give up. It's a good point.
9-6.
9-6.
9-6. Jets.
Mm. That is going to be.
That's a touchdown and a safety. Broncos score a touchdown. And then McManus misses an extra point, meaning the one guy we can actually feel confident about still doesn't come through. Sorry. Hey, maybe they win. Be great.
Hey, maybe.
But I don't know. I'm not feeling it. All right. And based on what we're getting on the Rumelslot.com text line, most of you aren't either.
Right.
So We're not alone. All right, we'll find out what Sandy and the Big O have to say. They're coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.